The next 2 days went by quietly. Luke spent much of that time with the Jeroons, poring over New Republic planetary listings and trying hard to be patient with their continual and wearying mixture of hero worship and eagerness to please. Luke didn't see Mara much during that time, except at meals and in the evenings, after they'd settled in for the night. But a comparison of notes showed she was doing far better at the task of information gathering than he was. With Fisa as her guide, she'd begun a methodical study of the Chaff Envoy and its crew. The Chiss, for the most part, seemed fairly neutral to Mara's presence and the various questions she put to them during her tour. Drask continued to be gruffly polite when she ran into him, though there was no way of knowing how much of the courtesy was because of Mara's own status and how much was the fact that Formby's aide was standing right there, ready to report any slippage in proper behavior toward the Aristocra's guests. Formby was even busier than the general, spending most of his time consulting in private with his other two staffers, Drask or Tal Shib and the other ship's officers. Mara saw him a few times, but only at a distance, and usually in deep conversation with someone else. After that first formal evening meal together, he also began eating elsewhere, leaving his host duties mainly to Fisa and Tal Shib's officers. As near as she could tell, Fel and his stormtroopers also kept largely to themselves, and mostly out of sight of everyone else. And though she readily admitted she couldn't prove it, she also had the distinct impression that Dean Jinsler was avoiding her. Finally, late in the evening of the second day, Formby summoned his passengers to the command center observation deck. But not, as it turned out, for the reason everybody thought. "I welcome you to Brask Auto Command Station," Formby announced, gesturing to the double pyramid-shaped mass of glistening white metal floating in the center of the main viewing display. "It is here where you must all pause and consider." There was a multiple buzz from the Jeroons.
"Pause and consider what?"
Bersh asked.
"Are we not arrived at outbound flight?"
"We are not," Formby said. "As I said, you are here to consider."
"But we were told we had arrived,"
Bersh persisted, sounding as upset as Luke had ever heard him. Small wonder, really, given the extent to which the Jeroons had dressed for the occasion. Not only were they wearing elaborate robes covered with tooled metal filaments that looked to be twice as heavy as their usual garb, but all of them had also come to the meeting outfitted with their own shoulder-slung wolfkill body. "We have arrived at the point where the difficult part of the journey begins," Formby told him patiently. "All must hear of the dangers we will face. Then make a final decision whether you wish to proceed."
"But..."
"Patience, Steward Bersh," Jinsler soothed the Jeroon. "Thank you, Ambassador," Formby said. He gestured behind him, and the double pyramid station vanished from the display. Luke inhaled sharply as a murmur of similar astonishment rippled through the assembled dignitaries. Centered on the display was a stunningly beautiful globular cluster, hundreds of stars tightly packed into a compact sphere. "The Redoubt," Formby identified it. "Within this group of stars lies the last refuge of the Chiss people, should our forces ever be overwhelmed in battle. It is impregnable, impossible for even a determined enemy to quickly or easily penetrate, with war vessels and fire points scattered throughout. There are also other surprises that nature itself has created for the unwary." "Starting with some really tricky navigation," Fel commented. "Those stars are awfully close together." "Correct," Formby said. "And that is where the principal danger lies, to us, as well as any potential enemy." Formby gestured again at the display. "We will need to travel slowly, making many stops along the way for navigational readings. The journey would take approximately 4 days. I thought your ships had already located the planetoid where outbound flight crashed," Fel reminded him. "Can't we just follow their course?" "We indeed will use their data as our starting point," Formby confirmed. "But inside the redoubt, nothing is ever constant or stable."
"We waste time,"
Bersh spoke up.
"Those of outbound flight gave their lives for us. shall the Jeruns shy away from danger as we seek to honor their memory.
Agreed, Fel said firmly. We're going in. As am I, Jinsler added. We're in too, Luke said, making it unanimous. Thank you, Formby said, inclining his head toward them. Thank you all. Formby turned to the Jeruns. And now, Steward Bersh, you and your companions must say farewell to those aboard your vessel. They cannot accompany us farther, but must wait here for our return.
I understand. If you will prepare a signal frequency, I will speak with them.
Formby nodded and gestured again. For a few seconds, the readout cluster remained centered on the display. Then the image cleared away to reveal a Jeroon standing in front of the children's playground they'd seen earlier. You may speak, Formby said. Bersh drew himself up to his full height and began speaking in an alien language whose sing-song tones ran mostly to two-part harmony. Formby had drifted off to one side and was gazing down into the command center. Trying to be unobtrusive, Luke drifted over to join him. Master Skywalker, Formby greeted him softly. I'm pleased you will be accompanying us the rest of the way. That's why we came, Luke reminded him. I was wondering exactly how tricky the navigation is going to be for this trip. It won't be simple, but it certainly won't be impossible either, Formby said. Why do you ask? There are some Jedi techniques that can help with hyperspace navigation, Luke told him, especially with something as complicated and crowded as this readout cluster. We can sometimes find easier or safer routes than a nav computer can come up with. I thank you for your offer of assistance, but your Jedi powers of navigation should not be needed. Luke bowed. As you wish, Aristokra. Turning, he headed back toward where Mara was standing, wondering yet again how Leia could make this diplomacy stuff look so simple. The Jeruns, he noted, seemed to be near the end of their conversation. What was that all about? Mara asked, as Luke came up beside her. I was offering Formby our help in navigating the readout, Luke said, frowning. There was a new tension in his wife's face that hadn't been there when he left a minute ago. He says they can do it themselves. What's wrong?
I don't know, Mara said. Something just hit me.
Something bad? Luke suggested, stretching out to the Force as he tried to read the pattern of her thoughts. Something dangerous.
Something not right, she said.
Something very much not right. Not dangerous, I don't think, at least not in and of itself, just not right.